Wait, are you guys going to make me cry?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. Everybody's cried. We have not had one person that has not cried.
Reed Lowe did not cry.
Like a baby.
It was putty in our hand.
All right. It's on.
What? It's on?
Welcome to our world.
Well, I'm Jess.
And I'm Adam.
That's it.
Good. Welcome to our world.
Welcome to our world.
Awesome. Well, today we have the honor of interviewing during the daytime.
I was promised wine, by the way.
We have promised.
It. It's okay. It. It's in my coffee cup.
Press pause. Right. Let's go.
Fill it up. We have the distinct pleasure of interviewing Glenn Zimmerman today. We are extremely excited about it.
Yeah.
We've been warned not to be, but we are.
So. Who warned you?
I don't.
Wait a minute. Is this another internet conspiracy?
You did.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Glenn, we don't like to ask this question, but we have to.
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell do you think you are, man?
I've been told I was going to be asked this question. So I thought about it, actually.
All right.
I gave it some great thought.
I appreciate that.
I like that.
And I think I'm still 26. And okay. I think I still have a lot of hair, and I'm pretty skinny, and I think I can do anything I want.
Great.
There's probably parts of that statement that are true.
Not really.
You can, no. You can do anything you want.
I still think I can do anything I want. However, to misquote a Kurt Vile song, I woke up this morning, and I didn't recognize the man in the mirror. Then I said, oh, that's me.
Okay.
And so apparently I'm in my mid-50s, 55, and I'm an old dude. I'm a grandpa. And I can't do all the things that I used to be able to do, but I still want to.
That's cool.
How's that?
That's great.
I love that.
Thought about it.
I love that.
Yeah.
So who is who's in your world? Tell us about who's in your world.
Who's in my world? There are a lot of people in my world, some I know and some I don't know. The people that I don't know have... police orders to stay away.
Okay, good.
So there's that. I have a wonderful wife who's my best friend, and I have 5 kids who I learn from every day. Nice. Learn all kinds of new stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, they influence my life constantly and change awesome. Who I am.
Wow, that's mm-hmm. profound. I love that answer.
Great.
I feel really bad about the interest that I gave. When
oh, really? Wow.
Whew.
It's okay.
Can I just stop? This is going to be the worst podcast ever because I've got something, you know.
I've got the
scurvy or something like that. So I'm going to blow my nose and stuff. And I might even cough. So
do it.
Oh,
I'm sorry. This is
we have the luxury of editing.
Yeah.
Although for
that's Steve's job. So cough as much as you want.
And you met him. So who knows if it's even going to get done.
Didn't know Steve spoke Latin.
he didn't know that either.
Right. Yeah, right.
Literally just learned it.
Mm-hmm.
For the people that don't know who you are, mm-hmm. can you describe what you do for work?
Yeah, I am the chief meteorologist. My title is chief meteorologist of Fox 2, which is a local, for all of you who are not local, Fox affiliate in St. Louis.
And that's so, awesome.
It's funny because for 28 years, I was the morning meteorologist. And so for 28 years, I got up at 2 a.m. and mm-hmm. went and did a very long morning show and worked my life and lived my life completely in a fog, completely exhausted. And for the last few years of that, I was, am I boring you?
Is this no. Love it.
No.
Love
I'm like,
it.
Wait a minute, this is not interesting.
No,
this is super interesting.
Is it?
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Well, for the last few years of that stint, I kept thinking, I got to get out of this. I got to do something different. I have no marketable skills other than putting on makeup and talking out loud. And so what am I going to do outside of this business as my second career? I never considered real estate, by the way. So that's a complete fail.
That's okay.
So then one day I got called into an office and I literally, as I walked to that office, thought I was going to get fired.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. I thought, this is it. Now I'm going to get let go. You know, I don't know why I thought that, but I walked in and they said, hey, the other guy's retiring. You're going to be moved up to chief meteorologist. And it's just literally shifted my world 180 degrees.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So now instead of getting up and going to work at 2 a.m,
yeah.
I go to work at 2 p.m.
And so what are you run the team of meteorologists and like, do they come to you for their takes or?
Not necessarily. Let's say I'm a manager in a sense. So I think the recognizable duties would be to make the schedules and sort of set policy and things like that. But, you know, I'm also there to, I don't know, to keep them on the right track. Like if I see that they're doing something on there that's like a little, you know, too much of one thing or not enough of another, I'll say, hey, you might want to try this or, you know, just sort of the leader of the group. I mean, in within a news department at a local TV station, there's a news director, which is over everything. Mm-hmm. And then there are executive producers and sports director and chief meteorologist. And so we're kind of in that, you know, mid-manager range, I guess you would call it.
Okay.
So
very interesting.
I have a really weird question that I've been thinking about the
another
last
one?
Couple of days.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
First of many. or second of many. I've been thinking about this for the last few days. I wanted to ask you this.
Yes.
So with meteorology, it's obviously scientific, right? And it's, but it's tied to nature and astrology and weather patterns. Do you get like some type of bigger purpose feeling around meteorology? Like, do you have a different connection with the weather than just science? Is that making sense at all?
No, it does make complete sense.
Like,
I know exactly what you're talking
about. You're tied to it for 30 years.
Yeah.
Is weather and nature bigger to you than it was, than it is to Jess and I, who is like, shit, it's raining again.
I mean, you say
better
that.
Better tweet Glenn.
Right. Yeah. I mean, are you saying that in a sort of
a spiritual, like
a spiritual, metaphysical?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, there is a connection to that. You know, my job is to take a bunch of scientific numbers, mumbo jumbo charts, stuff that you guys wouldn't even recognize, and then boil all of the science out of that and say, hey, it's going to rain. Or there's a chance of thunderstorms.
Right.
And be able to explain why there's a chance of thunderstorms and where there's a chance of thunderstorms. But all of the stuff that's behind the curtain is all the science-y, you know, there's numerical models and there's charts and all
trends
kinds of things.
Yeah.
Trends and, patterns and you know, all kinds of stuff. And so you take all of that science stuff and you just put it on in a kettle and you boil it all down and then you have partly cloudy and a slight chance of showers. Now, that sounds kind of weird, but, you know, that's kind of what I do. But from sort of, that's a really great question because this is going to be a twofold answer and I'll forget the second part of it.
Okay.
But the first part of it is, what's your purpose? Why are you there?
Mm-hmm.
What are you there actually to do? So people are going to, you have to reverse your view. So I have to think of the viewer. What does the viewer want me to tell them? The viewer wants me to say, okay, there's a chance of rain at your kid's soccer game today.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know, either it's going to get canceled or you're going to stand in the rain in an umbrella. The viewer wants me to say, hey, there's a chance of a tornado. And it may be around in the afternoon, and so watch out.
Right, take precaution.
Right, yeah. I mean, let's be alert to that possibility. You know, in the morning, I felt like after many years of doing it, I was like banging my head against the wall. I'm like, I'm on a gerbil wheel. I get on a gerbil wheel at 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I just run, and I finally got off the gerbil wheel mentally, and I thought, what's my mission here? What am I supposed to do? And in the morning, it was, I need to literally take people in my hands, get them out of bed, set them on the floor, give them a little laugh or something, and then send them out the door. And so I would get myself into that mindset every morning that, you know, hey, there's people that are just barely alert right now. So I'm going to just go real easy.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any big words, you know, I'm going to speak, you know, that kind of stuff. And then, hey, here's what's going to happen today. Have a great day. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that was a sense that I felt a mission, a literal, let's call it a God called mission to do that. That was my purpose.
Yeah.
So then when things get shifted to the nights, you know, I've been doing this for about a year and a half, and I still have tried to figure out that sort of metaphysical mission. What's, mm-hmm. what am I supposed to do here? Am I supposed to make people laugh before they go to bed? Am I supposed to be, you know, the filler in between the next virus update, you know, or whatever?
Right.
I mean, what's my purpose? So I'm still trying to figure that out at the moment, which has been a little difficult, and I've been impatient about that. But the second part of the question is there a deeper connection to the weather? And I've always hesitated to answer this question, but the answer is yes, that you get a feeling for what is going to happen. You get a feeling with a pattern. I can look at patterns and say, this might happen here, or that might happen there, or, you know, as of this taping, we're on a foggy morning. Mm-hmm. The atmospheric setup for a foggy morning this time of the year could bring severe weather. And so I woke up and I looked out the window. I'm like, oh, yep, there's the fog. And so now I'm currently accessing my phone and looking at the radar, and there are strong and almost severe storms out across central Missouri that could feed on that fog and bring us severe weather through the afternoon. So, I mean, it's just, you just sort of do have that connection and sense of something's going to happen. Yeah.
And you have the experience to have seen these patterns before.
Right. Yeah.
You've been doing it for
right.
so long.
Yeah. There's weird patterns. There's new patterns, but sometimes you see things develop.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Thanks for entertaining my question.
This is the longest answer ever.
I literally was in bed last night and I was like,
are we done?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Steve, come on. Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay, so thank you for indulging us in answering that question.
Oh,
what?
No, I sound really serious. I'm not really a serious person. That was right out the gate. Really,
well,
I like to
really
real deep, real
yeah.
quick.
Right.
We'll get to the fun stuff later.
Wait, are you guys going to make me cry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe. Everybody's cried. We have not had one person that has not cried.
Reed Lowe did not cry.
Like a baby.
It was putty in our hands. What other things are you passionate about?
Oh, God. Don't ask me that question.
Well, I did, so.
You know, family, obviously. Family, mm-hmm. my wife. Close family, faraway family. I have a lot of what my wife calls hobbies.
Okay.
Hobbies, I would probably term them more as little addictions.
Okay.
Because I have a tendency to get interested in something and then go all in.
Oh.
I've got to know everything about this subject. So I know... I'm like one of those, what's the phrase? Jack of all trades, master of none.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I got a lot of stuff in my head, but it doesn't really serve me any great purpose.
You're great at trivia nights.
I could be, yes. And I've done pretty good at trivia nights. Sure. I mean, but there's stuff like I forget, and that's part of being old.
Yeah.
See the earlier part of the podcast. I'm old.
That's okay.
So like, what are we like? You're going to ask me what are my hobbies?
Yeah.
Is that the next question?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
No. Well, you said you have hobbies and addictions.
No,
yeah.
That's okay.
I mean, what are they?
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine just as someone that's watched you on the news that you're a fan of music.
Music. Yes.
Okay.
Got way deep into jazz and specifically Blue Note records in the mid '60s. If you have any questions about Grant Green. I can answer those for you.
Okay.
Of course, you probably don't. So Grant Green, a St. Louis guitarist who went to New York and appeared on over 60 records for Blue Note Records and was quite successful.
Like a studio guitarist?
Studio and live recordings and jazz and appeared on other people's records. And yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Unfortunately, had a pretty bad drug addiction, like a lot of musicians mm-hmm. get to that point. But mm-hmm. you know, interesting story. Guy from St. Louis.
All right.
So
okay.
there's. I mean, that's. I really went way down into a subset there, but that was one thing.
That's all right.
So, coffee.
Great.
Yep. Roast my own coffee.
Really?
Okay.
And I've gotten pretty good at cappuccino and latte art. So I had this idea that one of my ideas on when I was working mornings, I'm like, I'm just going to start a coffee shop because I'm already up early.
Yeah.
I've already gotten used to this early schedule. I'll just go in and, you know, have a little coffee shop. And so I started roasting my own and all that stuff and decided that my coffee shop is just for one person. It's for, well, two, me and then my wife. So I get up every morning and turn on the espresso machine. And
that's awesome.
Very cool.
She's a lucky lady. Yeah. Just for one reason.
Cappuccinos. Yeah. Cappuccinos every morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, where do you roast at your house?
I do it at my house, okay. And I've learned how to do it in a popcorn popper.
Interesting.
Yeah, hot air popcorn popper. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So cool. You can get pretty good, you know, pretty good roasts. There are different roast levels and all that stuff, but you can get a pretty good roast from a popcorn.
Jealous.
Popper. Cool.
Yeah,
Steve,
it's really
can't
good.
Figure out the Keurig.
You can't even figure out how to say Keurig.
Whatever. Deal with it. It's early. We don't have any wine
we'll
in
this. We'll just learn from Glenn.
Right.
We'll just buy coffee from him.
There you go. When you start bagging your own coffee, you let us know.
You know, I thought about that, and I had thought, like, oh, and on the morning show again, I was like, oh, we could have Glenn's morning blend or something. Yeah. And, you know, sell it for charity.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
that'd
be
awesome.
But now I work nights, and that's not.
Well, you have all kinds of time in the morning. Right. And you're the manager. You can push it.
I could do it. Right. Yeah, I could do it.
Whether they
want
to or not.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, back to it.
Yeah. What would you say trips you up? What do you struggle with?
I don't know. Being addicted to something.
Okay. You know, always have to have something that has your focus?
It seems like that. I don't know. I mean, sometimes I get way too interested in something and then my wife has to say, okay, all right, enough. You need to put that over there for now and you need to focus on what you're doing currently. So, I mean, that happens sometimes.
Okay. Is your current addiction coffee or is there something that you're uncomfortable talking? Is it like puzzles?
No. I'm into triathlons now currently. And so I've been doing triathlons for the last 5 years. And
cool.
I mean, that's kind of been an ongoing thing. I ran when I was in high school and all that. And so, and then didn't run when we started having a family and then started getting back into it.
You're back.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Jess's husband and myself wanted to do a triathlon. And so we told someone to sign
you
up for
him
it.
Up.
I signed him up. Never trained once. Mike rode a bike.
My husband went and bought
feet.
A bike.
Oh, well, huh? Good.
He
good,
was
good.
The only one of the three people that actually trained.
Uh huh.
And that's a loose statement, trained.
And neither one of us did it.
And then, like, the week before the triathlon, Mike was like, so, like, where are we going to meet up? And the other guys are like,
We yeah. did, we also did what? A tough mutter together. Her husband, Mike, and I did a tough mutter, and we trained really hard for like a month. And then didn't train for 4 months. And then a week before, we're like, we should probably run again.
Mm-hmm.
It was the worst experience of my life. It was terrible.
And you both got really sick afterwards.
Yeah.
It was really bad. Ew.
It was really bad. It was terrible.
Yeah. And how do you train for one of those?
We thought you just run at Jefferson Barracks. Apparently, you need to hook wires up to a car battery and have someone beat you with a muddy stick.
yes.
Which is the proper way to train. We didn't know that at the time. But... it was terrible.
Didn't one of your teammates break their
Yeah, so there was like, I don't know, 10 or 15 of us that went. We only knew 3 or 4 people, I think. And we all show up, and everybody is in Adam and Mike shape, except for one guy who runs marathons.
Mm-hmm.
And to get to the starting line, there's 3 6-foot walls that you have to jump over. He jumped over the first one and broke his ankle. The only person that
was
in shape.
Oh, my God.
Broke his ankle, so we're all looking at each other like, oh, this is going to be really bad.
He
was
the guy we were going to rely on.
Right.
It was worse than I ever could have imagined.
I did the Castlewood Cup a few years ago, and you know, it's hilly and blah, 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 and I thought I was in pretty good shape, and it was a 9-mile trail run, and it was, I got done with that, and I said, I'm never doing this again. And now I'm like reconsidering, but then you have to like go back to that point where you say, I'm not doing this again and try to remember why
you
said that.
You have to remember the pain. Like, I totally forgot. I felt like both my feet were broken. I was angry at everyone for months.
Yeah.
But
ignorance
I forget about it now.
Is bliss if you don't know what's coming, that you're going to get shocked as your army crawling through 30-degree mud.
Right, yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, when you're in it, you're in it.
That's, you only one way out.
Mm-hmm.
Break your ankle.
Right.
Or just not show up.
Right.
All right. Well, what would you say are things, like what things are hard for you to say no to?
Oh, charities.
Podcasts.
Podcasts. This is my third podcast of the morning.
Okay.
You know, it's hard to say no to your kids. It's hard to, I mean, you know, it's sort of the standard stuff, but you'll get a request from somebody to be the MC and auctioneer of, you know, We Love Babies, right. you know, mm-hmm. organization. And, you know, so like, how do you say no to that?
Yeah.
So, and for a long time I was saying yes to all that stuff because it's important. And then we just really decided that I couldn't do it all the time.
Yeah. Especially if your schedule was you getting up at 2 a.m. too.
Right.
That probably it was a component.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that goes back into you live your life completely in a fog, completely tired all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, just literally, how did I get here? You know, kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really my friends who are still on the morning shift, I don't know how they're still doing it. But you just get on that wheel and you put your blinders on and you just say, I'm going to do it. This is what we got to do today. And then you get to a finish line and then you just completely collapse.
Yeah.
So, I mean, every day you'd run this marathon and, you know, then at you switch your jobs and you look back and you think, how did I do that?
Yeah.
And wait a minute, I did it for that long. And there's stuff that people will say to you. I'm like, did that happen? Did I do that? Or, you know, it's just a real, I mean, it's almost a blank, but you know, it was a tough thing. But so yeah, when somebody says, oh, we love you on the morning show and we want you to come and do our thing and this is going to be great. And, you know, so you think, yes, we love babies and we want them to live and, you know, thrive and all that. So let's go do that. And then at some point you just say, I can't do that. So there's a set number of things that we do per year. And,
sure.
you know, you just sort of have to limit it to that.
Well, we appreciate being within the quota.
Yeah. Oh, no. This is an easy thing. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. This sure. wine makes it much easier.
Oh, yeah.
I'm drinking it now. Ah, that is a delicate Chardonnay.
Yes. What?
Well, Boda only makes the best.
Boda Box, mm-hmm. yeah.
What is this brought to you by?
We're trying sponsored real hard. Sponsored by? We've been trying for 16 episodes. They've yet to respond to any of our...
No, they have responded.
Have they?
They liked a post.
Yeah, and commented. By the time this is edited, they will be a sponsor.
Okay.
All right?
I like that.
That's all I'm saying.
Or wow. Armageddon will be here, and it doesn't matter.
No. What have you had to turn down to do what you do? Besides sleep?
I don't know. You know, when you get out of college, you think, here's my goal, here's my plan. And so in broadcasting, it's like, okay, I'm going to start at the small market, and then I'm going to work my way up, and then at some point I'm going to be at the network. And then at some point you realize, maybe I won't be at the network. Maybe I'll just be here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I had a goal at one point in my life that I wanted to be back in St. Louis, working in St. Louis at the age of 32. I thought that's pretty reasonable. You know, even if I suck, I could probably do something in television in my home market.
Mm-hmm.
And then so when I got the job at 26 in St. Louis, I thought, man, I'm really, you know, I'm going to the, this is great. I'm ahead of the game.
Of the
you
goal.
Know, I'm going,
yeah.
doing good. And then after a while, you just realize that, maybe not. Maybe this is it. And so I actually kind of had a little midlife-y thing about 30, 32.
Yeah.
So
you're trying to figure it out?
Trying to figure it out and try to figure out, you know, what's the important thing? Is the important thing, you know, making that goal? Or is that even a goal anymore?
Sure.
Or why did it even have to be a goal? And, you know, so, I mean, I think a lot of people have this plan where, you know, here's my career, this is what I'm doing, and then all of a sudden there's, it may not be a big left turn, but it may just be enough of a hit the curb kind of thing where you go, wait a minute, something's not quite right in my life, and maybe this isn't the right way to go. Maybe I should take a little turn. So
yeah,
sure.
That's, sometimes it's harder to do that than others. But so giving up that ultimate goal of being on, you know, the network.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was never really realistic to begin with, so.
That kind of segues nicely into the next question about defining moments.
I read ahead.
You did. It's the line. Have there been any defining moments that have kind of made you who you are or allowed you to do what you do? And we want all your secrets.
All the secrets. I met a girl that had 3 kids and everybody in the world said, oh no, you shouldn't. No, she's already got three kids, man. You can't, you shouldn't get involved in that. You know, you should find a nice girl and, you know, have your own life and all kinds of stuff. And everybody tried to talk me out of it. And I just thought, you know, that's not the right thing. That's not what I want, even though everybody said no. Mm-hmm. So I went ahead and it was the best decision. That was a defining moment when I just really literally said, no, I'm not going to listen to any of you people. Mm-hmm. That's a weird, I haven't told that to anybody.
That's a great story.
That's the coolest thing I think I've ever heard.
I also, there's another, I haven't told this to anybody but my wife. I was in church when I was a kid and God told me I was going to be famous.
Really?
Yep. God told me that I would be known, and that the specific words were, you're going to be known, so you need to do something about that.
So,
like, you need to
use it for good.
Sure. Use your powers for good and not.
It shouldn't be a mugshot. It should be something else.
Well, I didn't ever feel right. I was more the known.
Don't interpret God right now, Adam.
The feeling was more that, you know, you're going to be famous. I interjected the famous, sure. But the word was you're going to be known, so don't blow it.
So that's awesome. In what way did that manifest itself? Was it literally a voice you heard in your head?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
I could take you to the exact spot in the church where I was sitting. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think about it all the time. Like, you're going to be known, so you need to do the right thing.
That's a great conscience, you know, like a great way to remind yourself of what, because that could be something that you choose to remember every day or every hour. And
because
we all get faced with things that we maybe don't want to say yes to, or
choices we want to make. Yeah. And it's real easy in this business to where people come up to you and go, oh, you're the greatest. Oh, you know, and then there are extremes where people say, hey, you know, why don't you, you know, they'll give you temptations like, you know, you want to go out, you want to meet after work, you want to meet for a drink, you know?
Sure.
And so, you know, you have to go, wait a minute. And faith, and I almost said Facebook, but that's, sorry, that's sort of inaccurate, but people will contact you through social media or through email now. It's just so easy for somebody to say, hey, you know.
Yeah.
They have a lot more access to you.
Right. Yeah. Right.
How, this is not a question we normally ask, but you've been in this business pre-social media,
pre-everyone
having the internet in their hand. How has that changed either what you do day to day or your celebrity or whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, it's changed the business completely. I mean, if I say to you, what's the weather going to be? You pick up your phones and look.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it used to be, what's the weather going to be? Oh, I don't know. Let me turn on the TV and wait for the, you know, the news, and then I'll tell you. Or let me look in the
look
paper.
Look at the paper, yeah.
Yeah.
Used to look at the paper every morning.
We used to have a barometer.
You had a barometer, yeah. Oh, barometer's falling. It means the gale force winds are blowing.
Right.
So, you know, you go from that to where you have sort of a captive audience. To now, everybody's looking at their own personal screens.
Yeah.
And so the viewership of television has gone down.
Sure.
You know, so you try to be present on social media. You try to be present, you know, on websites and things like that. But it's just so much to manage anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, if managing a Facebook page, even a personal Facebook page, is difficult for anybody.
Yeah.
But there's Facebook and there's Twitter and Instagram and, you know. There's something called TikTok or something. I don't even know what the heck that is. Now, I know my kids are in Snapchat, but all these things now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I can't be a broadcaster in all of those places.
Right.
It's just like saying no to a request. You just have to say, I can't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't
do something really well.
Right. Yeah. So I try to do television as best I can. You know, I update my Facebook page almost every day just with a weather forecast. I'm on Instagram for photography. That's another thing, another addiction.
Another addiction. So,
yeah. So.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Great. What keeps you up at night?
Nothing. I can go lay down and be asleep in a minute. It's an old morning show trick. I still can go. I'll get home from work and in you know, get ready for bed, lay down, and I'm going to be out in about a minute or two. There's nothing that, I mean, literally nothing that keeps me awake. What do I worry about?
Sure,
is that the real question? What's the real question?
That's the real question.
Well, I mean, I think both of us have minds that work when we...
I'm more literal. He's more figurative. So you answered my question. Now answer his.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your question?
My question is, what do you worry about, Glenn?
What do I worry about?
Because I stay up and think till 2 a.m. almost every night.
Ugh. What are you thinking about?
Everything. Am I a good dad? Am I a good husband? Am I a good businessman? Am I a good friend? Am I a good brother? Am I a good son? What did I say to that person? Why did I say that? I should have said something different. I wonder if I can watch this show tomorrow. What time do you think I have to get up tomorrow? What do you think Nathan's doing tomorrow? Do you think we have enough business in the pipeline? Yeah, all of those things on repeat.
That's exhausting.
It is. I mean, I think I used to be that way too, but... you know, there's things you can change and things you can't change.
Yeah.
So you have to take the things that you can change and do your best to change them. And if you do, then great. And if you don't, then you tried. And things you can't change, like, you know, the weather. I can't change the weather. If, I'll worry, oh my gosh, I got the weather wrong. I got the forecast wrong. You know, so I'll worry, oh my God, people are going to be mad at me because I got the forecast wrong. Mm-hmm. And then I have to think to myself, no, you know, I did the best I could with the information that I had. I communicated it the best way I could. So I feel bad that things didn't work out the way I thought they would, but that doesn't mean I did it wrong.
Right.
Sure.
So, you know, like, let's say, you know, do we have enough business in the pipeline? It's one of your things, you know. Well, maybe we do and maybe we don't, but I don't have to worry about that right now. I'll think about that when I wake up in the morning.
For sure.
You know, you have to, like, I've learned to put things in boxes, like, you know, stresses, you know, do we have enough money to go on vacation this summer? Do I have enough money to pay for the house bill? Well, I can put that in a box and worry about that another day, or think about it another day when it's a little more appropriate.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's definitely tapered off since you get more purposeful about planning out your business or your family or your day or whatever. I mean,
right.
But it still happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still crazy.
No, you're not.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's tough to take all the stuff from the world and to put it in boxes. That's hard.
Yeah.
Cause there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
And I probably have a little bit of your personality, where if I fall into something, I'm like, okay, I want to know everything about that.
Right.
Like this. This is a perfect example. We did one podcast with a phone on a coffee table, and in a week, I had ordered everything that you could possibly order for a podcast.
I was like, are you joking me right now?
Right.
It's like, so
I'm
we're
the
doing
opposite
it.
Of you guys. I'm like, well, I did a podcast. Hope that was good. Hope people like it. But if they don't,
right,
I'm going to keep doing it.
And
so
I'm
whatever.
Calling her. I'm like, I'm at Guitar Center. Do you want a big mic, little mic?
I'm at a church right now. They were selling used mics.
Right.
Really?
How much money do you want to spend? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Will they give it to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, yeah.
But that's why, at least for the podcast purpose, that's why we're a good team.
Right. Because
I'm very laid back, like, to the point where most people get annoyed. So, like, just, what do you want?
Yeah.
Like, whatever you want is fine.
The worst.
Sorry.
Are you a reader?
I'm not going to change.
Not really a reader, no.
What type of content do you intake? Is it podcasts? Is it reading? Is it videos? TED Talks? Or just music?
I'll read an online article about something. I've been getting into, and my wife has too, we've been getting into the practice of mindfulness, which is being present in the moment and not, I mean, it sort of goes back to worrying about stuff. Being present in the moment and not worrying about the things that are out there. Just be where you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's something that can keep the stress level down. And so, I mean, I've been kind of reading a little bit about that and how to practice that. And it sort of goes into meditation and, you know, you can go in a lot of different places, like, you know, yoga and things like that.
But I was going to ask you about meditation, like transcendental meditation, like things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I'm not, that sounds like I'm a hippie, right. you know, but it's a practice of just sort of calming your mind. Like I'll get stressed out driving to work, like, oh my God, this and that and this and that. And then I'll think, no. Okay. So just be where you are now. And when you go to that meeting, don't expect anything. Be prepared for something, but don't expect it. And then whatever happens, happens, and then react in that way. And that'll keep your stress level down. So,
yeah, I learned a great phrase over the summer, be where your feet are.
Sure. Like, yeah.
I've talked about this in my episode. Like I have a little guy at home, he's 4. So like if I'm home with him, and I'm not great at this yet, but when I'm home with him, I shouldn't be on my phone sitting next to him. I should be with him, you know? Or if I'm at work, I shouldn't be worried if he's going to catch some disease at daycare. Like, just be where you are and, you know, treat everybody accordingly and then give everybody the time you can and kind of go from there.
Yeah, it's, I'm sorry, but I don't know how you guys are growing up in all of this. Because it's, I mean, I'm sorry, I say you as growing up because I'm older and you guys are the age of my kids. But growing up with the social media and, you know, I don't know if at your age how I would have or we would have been able to do what you guys are doing now with all the distractions.
There's so many distractions. The intake is cut from every direction.
Right.
I'm grateful that when I went to high school, I got a cell phone when I turned 16 because then I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, I mean, text.
For emergencies.
You were texting. Yeah, I think when we were like seniors in high school or something like that. But that was like, I'm outside. That kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
That wasn't how you communicated. That was
a
method of just like sending a shooting a quick message to somebody. I'm so grateful that a lot of this stuff wasn't around when I was in college. You know, like I saw a meme the other day that said, when I was a kid, I went a whole day without taking a photograph.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we had to take our, I'm showing my age here, but like we had to get excited about picking up our photos from Walgreens.
Right. Yeah. No, right. That was and then that was, you know, how I grew up too. You know, that's what we did. I mean,
sorry.
That's okay.
You know, and it's not just the photos, it's the emails.
Mm-hmm.
You get an email from, you know, a retailer that says, hey, look at these boots. You need these boots, you know, and then you click on the boots because you think, oh, those are nice boots. And you go to the website and you look at the boots and you say, no, I don't need those boots. But then a half hour later, there's another email that says, hey, were you looking
and
at these boots?
Your Facebook has it.
Or now your Facebook has it. My wife and I cannot go on retail websites to buy for Christmas because it'll show up in each other's Facebook feeds.
Right.
So it's like, oh my gosh, this is insane.
It's so interesting you say that. When I was pregnant, we did not find out the sex of our baby. Because I truly believe that is the one genuine surprise that's left.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else that's out there isn't a surprise anymore. And I just thought, like, well, I want to find out. I want to find out that day, like my mom and dad did when my brother and I were born.
So you didn't want to have a big gender reveal party and confetti cannons and parachuters with pink and blue parachutes and which one lands, you know, the whole thing.
We actually did
that. Did you do that?
No, we did that.
No.
We did find
out, though. And I think that's because my personality is just like, well, if it's a boy, great. If it's a girl, great. I don't really care if he wears pink, and I don't really care if she wears blue. So buy me whatever you want. And anyways, this isn't about me, but I thought
seems like it.
Well, let's just swish it up. Right. And this is what happens during the day.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. Somebody get this man some wine.
I get real testy when I don't have any red wine in me.
I know. Mm-hmm. Well, as a music fan, what do you listen to get pumped up?
Oh gosh, I don't know. There's all kinds of stuff.
Do you run to?
No, I stopped running to music. I stopped. Okay. I stopped. I just thought I should be present in the running moment. And like when I've been doing races, you can't do a triathlon with headphones on or whatever, right. Earbuds on. So why not get used to running or cycling, just listening to the world? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I hear the sound of my breath and I don't overtrain because Radiohead's got me jacked up. You know, I'm just doing what I do and listening to the world.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. But like, you know, who are my favorite bands? I don't know, Radiohead and U2 and jazz stuff and, you know, like Miles Davis. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. What are your top three movies?
This is the most important question today.
Why is it the most important question? Because it's literally the hardest question.
Adam wants to sure he actually is connecting with you. So your answer to
you
this
said Radiohead, so we're already
that.
On like a good, okay. a good place, but this okay. could ruin it really quickly.
Well, the number one movie ever, and there's no ever debating this, ever in the history of cinema, is Citizen Kane, is the greatest movie ever.
Okay.
For many, many reasons. We don't have to go into any of them. But the second greatest movie of all time is a movie called Brazil by Terry Gilliam. Look it up. If you want the box set, I've got all three director cuts.
Okay.
It is one of the most fantastically weird, awesome movies ever in the history of movie making. That's number two.
Okay.
Can you give us an elevator speech or like the deep voice of what it's about?
It is about a man caught in a world of industry that he's trying to break free of because he sees a dream.
Okay.
And it's a Terry Gilliam film. So Terry Gilliam of Monty Python, mm-hmm. there's some of that sort of humor to it, but Terry Gilliam is a bizarre, brilliant mind, and it's just insane.
All right.
Robert De Niro's in it, plays a side part in it, but the rest of it is other actors and actresses, and it's just the most... I just love it. Nobody, I think I've only met one or two people who share that. My wife hates it. I think she's not even watched the first 10 minutes. She's like, this is weird. I'm not watching this. And it's not terribly weird. I don't think it's terribly weird. It's just you have to be in the right frame of mind to go, okay, I'm going to jump in this journey and I'm going to go and I have to be open for everything.
Yeah.
So it's a great comment on society and industry and and a worker bee's place in industry and how to follow your dreams and break free of the man.
Interesting. I like it.
How's that? It.
Okay, so mm-hmm. number three. Do you have a third?
Number three is any Wes Anderson film.
All right.
Any and every Wes Anderson film.
Okay.
Why are you leaving? Oh, sorry.
That's what's called out, Glenn.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Keep that in there, Steve. Right. Wes, so what's your favorite Wes Anderson movie? It doesn't matter.
I love Rushmore.
Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, that's a little lower on the list, but Fantastic Mr. Fox is just brilliant. Uh-huh. I just love the way. I mean, and the shooting style, the color, the color palette. The actors that are all familiar and the same generally, but playing mm-hmm. different characters. But it's just more about, you know, there are very few directors now who have a style. You know, you think of style, you think Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Hitchcock has a style. You know, there are other directors that have certain styles. But this is so overt and well designed and well planned with great storytelling and great actors. It's just, I just wait for the next one. Isle of Dogs is just brilliant. It's just brilliant. Even though it's animated, it's just a brilliant film. The actors, you know, perform in that way that they talk like normal people. And I don't know. I just love them.
Yeah.
Anderson. I'm glad you're not asking me what number four is.
Is there a fourth?
No, it all goes. Oh, okay. It all goes.
It goes weird after that?
Well, I don't know. There's, you know, Hitchcock films. And there's just too much to... I was at one point a film major, by the way.
Oh, so you're... That's why, I mean, when you, the first movie of Citizen Kane, I was like, never seen it.
Oh, my God.
Never seen it. Brazil, never seen it.
Fail. Stop the podcast. Go watch it. Greatest film ever.
What his favorite movie is.
What's your favorite movie, Adam?
My favorite movie of all time is a movie called Toy Soldiers with Sean Astin and Lou Gossett Jr.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
He's like, I'm out of here.
Bye. Right. Man, turn it off.
Why is it the best movie?
I think mine's more of a sentimental reasoning. So when I was growing up, my oldest brother and I, who are 5 years apart, we watched it together many, many, many times. And there was a period where we weren't like super, super close, but we did watch that movie together. We had, I think we had it on VHS or something. And so now we're best friends. And so that was what, for a long time, that was our, connection. And it's a fantastic movie. It's got everything you want. It's got suspense. It's got humor. It's got schools being taken over by terrorists that are saved by little drone airplanes.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's an entertaining movie. I highly recommend it.
Okay. There's a great movie that really just got literally panned as the worst movie ever that I think is really brilliant. It's called Tree of Life.
Okay.
And now for the moment, I can't remember the director's name. I'm sorry. But uses visuals and nature and sounds instead of dialogue to tell the story. There is dialogue and there is a storyline, but it's really an experience for the ear and for the eye. You know, I guess it's an artsy film. I don't know. I mean, the Tree of Life, it's just really... Everybody that I know hates it, but I think it's a brilliant film.
Well, I think there's something to be said about that. Like, if you're looking for something with great cinematography or like the most amazing writing and directing, Toy Soldiers probably isn't for you. Like,
that makes sense.
Yeah, it's certainly for me because of the sentimental value. Sure. But I mean, there's tons of movies that I appreciate from on that level.
Yeah. So a little bit more of my background. I went to college to be a newspaper photographer. And I was going to be, I actually wanted to work for National Geographic when I, that was the initial goal going to college. And things went wrong. I actually changed to be a film, I was going to be a film director. And so I was sort of a film major for a couple of minutes and then things went really wrong. So,
but I think you're doing okay.
Yeah, I think you're doing good.
Well, yeah, you know, it's okay.
It's all relative.
I'm making it. I'm making it.
Do you, when you travel, I assume you travel a little bit, even if it's just to relax. What are your biggest pet peeves?
Pet peeves when I travel? Getting there and going home.
Oh, okay.
Just the travel days?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes getting there is a plane ride and that's sort of nerve-wracking and... You know, a lot of stuff going on and or you're driving and that's a lot of stuff going on and, you know, a lot of time and all that. But then getting home is just the worst. I mean, really, going home from vacation.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to vacation. At least you're looking forward to
getting there.
Yeah.
I guess I'm specifically talking about vacation and not work travel.
Yeah, sure.
But going home, what is there to look forward to? You're going back to
your own bed. I can't wait to get home sometimes. Most of the time, I'm like, I just want to go home.
Well, if you're going home and you can't wait to get home, it means the vacation was bad.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess that's a good point.
I'm just a routine person, so I do like
getting
back to my...
There is a point where you kind of give up and say, okay, I need to get
back to reality.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not just reality. It's into that familiar routine of, you know...
Yeah. So, well, if you got to choose it, what would your last meal be?
Those donuts on the table over there.
You can die now.
Is this my last meal? Is this it? This is the end?
God, I hope not, for your sake.
Yeah, right? I don't know. What do you...
Not a food person?
No, I love all the foods.
Okay.
I mean, how do you choose? What's the best food? Is that... I don't know.
I don't know.
I think so this is actually the first time we've ever asked this question on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've never gotten this far?
Yeah.
Because your guests have been better at talking about themselves?
Like, enough.
No, yeah. No.
I bring out toy soldiers and they're like, I
got it. No, we were having cocktails on our last work trip with Dave Nations, our second episode's guest. Mm-hmm. We were like, oh, last meal. And everybody went around the table and said it. And we were like, I need to add that to the podcast.
Mm-hmm. So
we had too many cocktails that night, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, some people would say I want the biggest steak and, you know, and that's great. I don't know. I love sea scallops.
Mm.
I tend to order sea scallops a lot. Yeah. So is that my last meal, I guess? I don't know.
Okay with that.
Yeah. Okay. That's kind of boring, isn't it?
No.
That's a terrible answer.
I don't think so. I think it's an answer.
I love scallops.
Yeah.
That's
love
a
scallops,
great answer.
Uh-huh.
Who's one person you know that we should know?
That is a good question. So this is basically what I'm doing is setting up that person to be the next interview?
Is perhaps.
That
one?
Perhaps. Or just someone that you think is interesting, that you think we would think is interesting.
Okay.
They don't have to want to do the podcast.
Right.
That's
right.
A bonus.
Yeah.
I think Tim Uzel on Fox 2 is really interesting.
Yeah.
A really, really fascinating, interesting person. More than you think.
Okay.
Okay. Because he's super entertaining.
Super entertaining, but there's... But, you know, it runs really deep with Tim.
Cool.
And I'll just leave it with that.
It's, all right.
He is by far one of the most complex people I've ever met. Never quite could get in the door of being super close, but just really admired him from afar, like for all he is.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Cool.
You should also get to know Father Noah Waldman at St. Martin of Tours.
Okay.
So, and if anybody's Catholic and looking for a Mass, go check out Father Noah Waldman at St. Martin of Tours. 4:00 Mass on Saturday. And he's probably the smartest person I've ever met.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay. Where can people follow you or get a hold of you if you want them
if
to?
if they don't know how to already see you every single day.
Yeah. Let's see.
Is there a platform that you welcome?
Yeah. I mean,
other than
fox2now.com is our official site. You can, you know, follow me there somehow. Obviously on air, channel 2. I don't know what that is on your cable, but you know.
Yeah.
I'm on all social media as @ZimTV, ZIMMTV. So,
there we go.
So yeah, if you probably Google that, you'll find me on the Book of Faces and the tweet space and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Awesome.
Mostly I'm on Instagram with my past major photography. So
I like
a former college major.
Is there anything that you wish that we would have asked you that we didn't?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I mean, I'm an open book.
Yeah.
You just got to know what page to open to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we appreciate your time and willingness to come.
Is that it? Is that enough time?
You did great.
It was fun.
Was it?
I don't know.
I'm not really interesting. It's just, you know, just get up and.
Super interesting.
All I do is put on makeup and talk out loud. That's all I do.
I do it too. But
point at numbers. I had a news director from Texas. It's all you do is point at numbers.
So great.
That's what I do.
Okay. Right. Glenn, thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
All right.
Oh, are you still there?
They're still here.
That's crazy. Well, if you can't get enough of us, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Welcome to Our World.
And thanks for listening. And if you listen on Spotify or iTunes, it'd be pretty cool if you gave us a rating.
And tell your friends.
All right.
Thanks.